A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
And welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Dolson himself. Pete, how you doing? What's going on?
I'm going terribly, actually, Chris. It's very early in the morning here in London, and I've run out of bigger juice fruit punch, which is a drink that I was addicted to when I moved down to London about 20 years ago. And it's a very sugary Jamaican pop or soda, and I discovered that the shop down the road sells it in huge quantities, and I bought it in huge quantities, but I've drank every single last bottle of it, and it's made me very sad that it's all gone.
it looks absolutely disgusting. I've never seen
it's
that in
beautiful.
My life.
Beautiful. It's bright red. It tastes of, I mean, it just says fruit punch. I mean, God knows what's in it, but I am absolutely addicted to the potassium sorbates, the gum acacia, the glycerol ester of wood resin. Good God, my eyes are terrible. Either way.
That doesn't sound good.
No, bloody it doesn't hell. Sound good, but it tastes good, and that's the main thing. So, yeah, I'm upset about the lack of bigger juice in my life, but I'm happy about everything else.
When I was over in America last year, didn't like the chess boxing thing. I did a live stream with Ludwig and Connor around Ludwig's house, and we ate every American cereal there ever was and ever is.
Right.
And fuck me, the things that go in those cereals. It was pretty scary. It was like trisodium phosphate and all this horrible, like, so delicious. I love Lucky Charms. Those marshmallows are great. But my God, if I had children, I wouldn't let them anywhere near the cereals in America.
It's weird, isn't it? I mean, there is, like, the food standards over there, the old USDA. Is it USDA or FDA? I can't remember. Either way, food's
USDA.
USDA. Right, okay. USDA certified lean. I'm a man.
Good song, it's, Killers. Like it.
They are, it is a good song, absolute banger. A late career banger from the Killers. I would say that we complain about here in Britain about, you know, the EU overreach and stuff, and that's kind of why Brexit happened, and that's why we're no longer in the EU. But good
Bendy
God,
bananas,
their food safety,
Pete. Bring back Bendy Bananas.
Their food safety standards are way better than some of the stuff you see in America, bless them. Like, so, like you have massive limitations about what you can do food-wise over there.
Chlorinated chicken.
They can't guarantee...
Give my chlorinated American chicken.
The food standards. But yeah, I mean, wow. But what I would say for American stuff is it tastes better than anything in the world. The Lucky Charms, the cereals you get in like a buffet breakfast in a sort of rundown motel hotel in America, they're just better. They just know how to do breakfast better than us.
I think America's better in general, Pete. But
I'm sort of thinking like my idea of like a Japanese breakfast for all the good it does you is Natsuki having a cigarette and a coffee.
Yes. See, what was Natsuki's breakfast? One cigarette, one coffee. And one more cigarette, right?
And one more cigarette, yeah.
What a breakfast. I mean, that guy's
pooping.
A good breakfast. That breakfast will kick you into high gear. I've done it a few times, and you do feel like you can take on the world. But I feel like a weight has been lifted, a big weight. It's called Journey Across Japan. It's finally done. Fucking yes, it's over.
Did you have a a post-edit cigarette?
No, but I feel like I should have one now.
Right,
I can't believe it's over. I'm so happy. Now I can actually do fun things again. Not to say the last episode wasn't good. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but we visited the first ever apartment that we lived in Braun, Japan. First 3 years in Sakata. And it was really trippy. We tried to get in there last year, but the person who was living there was like, I don't know who you are and don't want a camera in my apartment. And I was like, fair enough. When I announced that we were doing Journey Across Japan, the guy living in there now, American dude called John, lovely guy, he was like, yeah, come on over, come and film it. And he let us in and it was trippy as hell, going back to where it all began. Trippy.
Does he feel kind of, does he feel like he lives in like John Lennon's house? Does he feel like
this hole in the wall?
This hole in the wall, Chris made a rudimentary glory hole for himself. Just kind of like walking around the house, looking at what you might have done to it. Modifications.
Well, he certainly kept a few things. He's kept the kotatsu wooden table, and he's kept the old TV, and he's kept the mirror. So and the kitchen area all look the same. He got rid of the ironing board, which I used to make my rudimentary dinners on, chicken and camembert. Because he got like a proper working space for preparing food. But like for the most part, it was almost as if it had been untouched. And it was really trippy. The first time I'd been back there in 9 years it was. So it was surreal.
Awesome.
But I was kind of like, and he's got my position at the school as well. So he's basically inherited every facet of my life in those first 3 years.
Oh my God. This
should
is
trade
like a
lives.
Film. Is a single white female? What's the one where like somebody just takes over somebody's world? Somebody's life, somebody's identity.
Freaky Friday.
Yeah, yes.
Sorry,
but no, but
it.
Yes.
But yeah. It'd be cool to do like switch lives for a week. I think I very quickly want to be back in Tokyo.
Like, do you ever have like fantasies where you sort of go, oh God, I wish I could go back to when I was like, 22 or whatever? And make different decisions and you know, I'd probably do things a little bit more in a more refined way. But then I do sort of think about like most of the time when I was that age, I was like, nah, I'll stay here. Thanks. Got an house.
Should have stayed working at that monkey zoo.
Exactly.
Have stayed at the zoo.
Yeah. I probably would have done a bit more work. I wasted an astonishing amount of time for a man who didn't really have access to regular internet. Like, I don't know how I managed to waste so much bloody time.
I mean, I went back and I was like, I did kind of think, wouldn't it be cool to go back and relive those first 3 years? Like Japan was such an enigma, such a mystery to me at the time, because I could never really travel and explore the country, right? You'd only get like weekends off and you can't really go very far on a weekend when you live that remote. So it was kind of like very exciting. And now I've done literally everything in Japan. I've met like the biggest rock star, the biggest film star. I've been to every prefecture, climb Mount Fuji twice. I've done everything, you know, on paper anyway, except perhaps fluently master Japanese or learn a martial art. There's still time.
Find himself. He's done everything. The one thing he couldn't find in Japan was himself.
That should have been the tagline for the Important Japan book.
P.S. He did
back.
Make his own glory hole.
I think the only thing I'll say is like, I don't regret what happened after my life there in Sakata. I'd like to rewind it, go back and relive it and whatnot, but I don't regret what happened afterwards. I think things have turned out pretty damn well for the most part. I don't know what I'd change, really. No, I don't know. I think I had a good run. But it's not over yet. And also, in that same episode, the last Journey Across Japan episode, I was handcuffed to American Pete for a day in the snowiest town in all of Japan, which you should never do. I don't know why we had that challenge
Day. Because if you slip over,
you die.
You're taking the other person down with you in the
There
snow.
Was one point, I think it wasn't on camera, but there was one point where I think Pete slipped or I slipped, and there was we're in this town called Ginzan, this magical Hayao Miyazaki-esque town, and it's all snowing hard as hell, and like there's a beautiful steamy river throughout, and Pete nearly took a tumble into it, and I nearly went with him.
Good.
And luckily, I managed to get my footing at the last moment, but that would have been a very different end to Journey Across Japan. Being airlifted to Yamagata General Hospital.
Still chained to Pete.
We can't get the chain off. We can't get it off. It's fused forever.
Having to do an operation with like two of you in there, like Siamese twins. We can't separate them.
We're going to have to kill one of them. But I'm really happy with Owl. It's done. Let's never speak of journeys across Japan ever again. Let's never do that. Don't regret doing it, though. It was fun. It was fun. We got a story this week from Dallas. That's a cool one. Dallas. From Long Beach, California. Hello, Affable Chris and Laughable Pete. I arrived in Japan around the end of November 2022, and as a newbie, I just quickly found myself looking for a local watering hole. I knew this would be a difficult endeavour, as my Japanese is middling at best, and I was with three friends, which might present a problem, given the smaller bars within the famed Golden Guy district. Seeing a sign in English that said Outlander Bar, we popped in, immediately seeing a guy in his late 20s with short hair, a goatee, and enough tattoos to make a colouring book jealous. Was it Pete Donaldson? The bartender motioned for us to sit and told us that Crazy Tanaka-san was en route. Crazy Tanaka-san. Fuck it. It was like an announcement for a circus act that you just can't miss. And so we stayed put, rightly so. In strides a middle-aged man with glasses and a full three-piece suit. Not the image of crazy, as his name suggested. He looked ready to negotiate a crime deal, not join a shindig at a snug bar. After claiming and downing his usual poison, he then turned his gaze my way. You, American, speak English. It dawned on me at this moment that we may have picked the wrong bar. Here I was in a foreign land, in a room filled with the misfits of Japan, and I was sure our group would go missing before sunrise. As I quickly learned, though, he wasn't crazy in the Quentin Tarantino sense, but earned the title through drinking crazy amounts of alcohol. It's not crazy, it's just an alcoholic. Offering me beer after beer, he told me his stories of travelling the world. He just so happened to be a diplomat, not a crime boss. At the stroke of 2 a.m, with a wink and a nod, Crazy Tanaka-san bid us farewell and disappeared into the night. When I went to pay my tab, it was already settled. Tanaka-san had paid for all the drinks. It was everything I wanted in a night out, and I felt so lucky to have had such a memorable night. Thank you, guys. Love the podcast. Dallas from Long Beach. He survived an encounter with Crazy Tanaka-san.
Crazy Tanaka-san. I like that, because like, it could have gone either way. Like, Tanaka-san, why is he so crazy? Because he's very in debt. He keeps on paying for everyone's drinks.
It sounds like a 65-year-old British man's impression of, like, what a Japanese person would like. Oh, I met a man who's like Crazy Tanaka-san, isn't it? Yeah, it's such a weird... That's great, though. I love he wasn't so much crazy as a raging alcoholic. He just downed a formidable amount of beer.
Absolutely get it down, yeah.
I want to find this place. He didn't really... Where was it? It was in Golden Guy, so...
Outlander Bar.
Outlander Bar.
I don't know whether these bars sort of change hands very, very quickly, but every time you walk past one, it seems to have changed name, ownership, and there's even fewer chairs in there.
I'm seeing if I can find it. It is there. Oh, wow, it is there on Google. 3.3 stars out of 5, with only 3 reviews.
Let's get some. I wonder if Tanaka-san is... when we bash through the news story, I'll see if there's any... See if there's any reviews talking about
There's a review.
There's a review.
I found one, right? It's a review from Joanne, who gives it 1 star out of 5. This was 4 months ago, fairly recent. And she says, the guy who runs this place is incredibly rude. He kept rushing us and other customers to finish our drinks and order more or leave. We spent 6,000 yen for 3 whiskey shots in 45 minutes. We found out later these should only have cost about 800 yen to 1,000 yen each. The other customers walked out as well. And then the next one's like, the best bar I've been to in Shinjuku. Samurai, ask for samurai style. It was run by the coolest man in Tokyo.
So. Samurai style is another man who comes around and he drinks less, but he's way more intense.
Tanaka-san in a fitting costume.
Tanaka-san. Is it 6,000 yen for 3 whiskey shots? Is that absolutely obscene? Not London prices. That's cheap for London.
I think Golden Guy's like
Golden
a Guy's
price. Expensive as hell.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's not worth it. It's called like walkthrough, but I don't really drink there apart from bar deathmatch in hell, where the prices are reasonable and the guy's really cool, and there's like a disfigured Yoda in the corner. But like, I recommend Golden Guy to like walk through and be wowed by the atmosphere. But I'm not so sure on the bars. I did go to a good one with Connor and Pete on one of their live shows. But yeah, you just got to be lucky. Just do your homework. Look at some reviews. Bar Outlander. See if any of you guys have been to Bar Outlander and met Crazy Tanaka-san, let us know. Send us a send us an email or a comment in the YouTube comments below. But this week's news story involves identity, and it involves a goddamned competition that I loathe called Miss Japan. Pete, fill us in. What's going on in Japan this week? Identity and Miss Japan.
Pretty ladies, there have been racial barriers and it's been challenging to be accepted as Japanese, said a tearful Carolina Shino in impeccable Japanese after she was crowned Miss Japan on Monday. A 26-year-old model who was born in Ukraine moved to Japan at the age of 5 and was raised in Nagoya. She's the first naturalized Japanese citizen to win the pageant. Excuse me. But her victory has reignited a debate on what it means to be Japanese. While some recognize her victory as a sign of the times, others have said she does not look like a Miss Japan should. Her win comes nearly 10 years after the model Ariana Miyamoto became the first biracial woman to be crowned Miss Japan in 2015. Back then, with a Japanese mother and African-American father, Miss Miyamoto's victory raised questions about whether a person mixed race should be or could be eligible to win the competition. Miss Shino, who has won the Miss Japan on Monday, has no Japanese parentage, and it's upset some on social media. Is this just a storm in a teacup, though? Is it one of those things where about three people comment and the Daily Mail just gets a whole piece out of it, and it further kind of accentuates what the objections actually are? I'm not going to go. To be honest, I'm not going to go through all of the posts on X/Twitter about people questioning whether this woman is Japanese or not. That's not for anyone to decide, apart from the woman himself. And so it does raise interesting questions, not about biological identities, but it certainly raises questions about how far Japan's come when it comes to people who aren't strictly biologically born and bred through some kind of genetic connection to the Japanese people, I suppose. It's a difficult one, isn't it, Chris? I mean, to be honest, if you were going to sort of when I came to this story and I just saw the headlines, I was like, I mean, if you're going to make a beautiful person in a lab Japanese Ukrainian, you wouldn't go far wrong, would you? I mean, you stick some Iranian in there, maybe. Because people from Iran are usually beautiful. But, like, yeah, I mean, like, you'd be like, well, that sounds about right. But, I mean,
Dr. Donaldson's test tube, baby.
I'm going to do, like, a sort of 70s disco song about me making the perfect, beautiful woman. I put a little bit of Iranian in the tube. Yeah, I mean, it's an anachronistic product, Miss World, Miss Japan, all that shite. It doesn't further anything. It's quite tedious. But in this sense, maybe it'll help hold up a mirror to what the Japanese think is who people are Japanese and who are not Japanese. Effectively, I suggest they're probably not as advanced on that particular note as the rest of the world, because they're an island nation and they are very protective.
We're an island nation.
Yeah, we're just as bad as them. That's the point. We're just as bad as them.
Well, it's different, isn't it? Like, Japan, you know, such a large proportion of the country are homogenous, 95% plus, 98%.
And also, we have taken over, our empire has taken over most of the world and claimed it as our own. So, I mean, we built a railroad, Pete, for the peoples of the world to steal the treasure quicker.
Enjoy.
Awful,
awful people. It's just a stupid topic. Like, on the one hand, I think you can cover it from both angles. Number one, of course, most Japanese people are going to be like, is it political, Ukrainian, Japanese national winning? Because most Japanese people support Ukraine and what's going on there. So there's already a political aspect. But I think if you ask most Japanese people, they wouldn't see her as Japanese. She's been here since 5. Both her parents are Ukrainian, but she moved here with her mum, who remarried a Japanese guy. Speaks Japanese fluently, thinks like a Japanese person by all means, but it all comes down to blood, doesn't it, right, in Japan, and appearance. Appearance and blood are the most important things. Like, there can be a bit of a pick and choose element to it sometimes. Like Naomi Osaka, the incredible tennis player, like she looks Japanese, but she's not overly fluent at Japanese. And she only picked up her passport age 22, but most Japanese would sort of say, yeah, of course she's Japanese. also helps. She's one of the world's best tennis players. That kind of looks good for the country as well.
Like, you know, naturalized like Brazilian citizens have always kind of been quite good at football, and a lot of like countries will just claim a lot of decent Brazilian footballers as their own. As they have every bloody right to be. Naturalized citizens are naturalized citizens for a reason. You put the time in. It's meaningless wherever you get dropped on this earth, isn't it?
It's kind of I've had different feelings on this story, but I think, of course, feathers are going to be ruffled, you know. I think a lot of Japanese people over 40, 50 are going to be like, oh, she's not Japanese then, on the one hand. And yeah, I think my main takeaway, though, is why the fuck is Miss Japan still a thing? What Miss World, Miss Universe? I hate them all. What a load of absolute crap.
They always
crap.
Look the same as well. I mean, I don't like to comment on people's features or appearances, but they just look so... They look like they've been grown in a lab, as discussed. They look like they've been created with a little sort of RPG. And like any kind of deviation from the normal kind of like, you know, 1970s idea of what it is to look like a woman is like on an RPG kind of character creator.
Yeah, just good point.
A couple of notches up and down. They all look the same. They all look the same.
It's like, let's get the women out like cattle on a stage in swimsuits. And like, they don't really get into... Have they done anything good? Have they achieved anything good? It's like, oh, they just look good, isn't it? In a swimsuit. And they
I like that one
that
was showing
a fucking
France!
Barbie doll.
Remember that one? Remember the woman? There was like a Miss World from last year, I think. Everyone was just sort of going and saying their names. And the Miss France just went, France! Like in a really crazy style. She became a meme for a while. That was quite fun.
Well, I just hate it. I think it's just... a load of trash and it's outdated.
I love it, Chris. I think it's sexy.
You're part of the problem.
I think it's really sexy. Wow.
Do you ever remember
robot women coming on talking about world peace and then turning around? Yeah, I think that's really hot.
Toss out a few lines about how world peace is important. Do a spin in a swimsuit job.
France,
absolute shit. Like, do you remember the viral video from like 2007? Miss Teen America. This is my favourite video, I think, on YouTube ever. She's asked about American geography. You ever seen that clip?
Right.
It's called Miss Teen USA Pageant, right, 2007. Okay. Right? The person on stage, she comes up and I have to answer one question about world peace or some generic geographical, geopolitical bullshit. And someone went, recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the US on a world map. Why do you think this is? And then the girl in question, Lauren, gave the most... fucking convoluted, nightmarish answer. She said, I personally believe that US Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps. And I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq and everywhere, like such as, and I believe they should. Our education over here in the US should help the US and should help South Africa and should help Iran and the Asian countries so we'll be able to build up our better future. Like
ChatGPT, yeah.
It does. A shit version of ChatGPT like carved up six different speeches about world peace and just mixed it up into one.
It's like this magnetic word you get on the fridge. She's doing that one.
I just love the way she sort of just suddenly went in South Africa and Iraq and everywhere, like the Asian countries. Like, what are you on about? What was that? No.
You had all summer to figure out what you are. It's that Tim Robinson sketch. You can't just turn up and just make stuff up. Write it beforehand, for crying out loud. Yeah, but I mean, they're just kids who've never been asked to do anything because you look a certain way and that you've been forced into this kind of pigeonhole that you just panic and just word soup comes out. I know that's what I do, and I ain't pretty.
Get Pete Donaldson on Mr. World 2024.
Yes, Mr. World.
Why is world peace important, Pete? Why is world peace important?
Oh, because fucking missiles are expensive, aren't they? Rubbish. Boring. Just blokes looking down tubes going, yeah, this is a good missile. This will make a real mess. that's how I imagine people on people problem. On nuclear subs out there. They look down the pipes and go, yeah, this is good. Big tube. Going to make a big mess.
That's on par with Miss Teen America's speech, to be honest. My God. But you do yourself one treat today. Go and look up that viral video. It's a cracker. Yeah. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Wow.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners? Mr. Dawson, fill us in.
Dear ChatGPT Chris and Python Pete, my husband and I will be travelling to Japan in 3 weeks. It will be our first time, and I'm excited, but also a bit overwhelmed, and your podcast has been a tremendous help. Doesn't sound like us, Chris. I plan to keep a travel diary or scrapbook during our journey, and recently read about different types of stamps you can collect at train stations, temples, and some stores. How hard is it to find such stamps? Do you have a particular favourite spot to get them? Maybe any other recommendations for flat collectibles and keepsakes to stick in a notebook? I love the podcast. Keep the great work. Marissa from the Netherlands. I think on a recent episode, you and Charla was collecting some somewhere.
Yeah.
I know I collected some on Rabbit Island, and sometimes you see them in 7-Elevens for some reason.
Rabbit Island stamp book.
Rabbit
Is it
Island.
A chemical? Was it the stamp book of the chemical weapons factory built on the other side of the island?
Just a bit. Just a
Charla
bit.
Does have. Yeah, she's got a stamp book. Neko Neko stamp book. She made it herself. And she, to be honest, I'm not somebody who gets excited about stamps. Right, clearly, I'm the grumpy, horrible man. And yet, when I see Charla crack out a stamp, like every Michinoeki roadside stop in Japan is like a stamp, and they're pretty elaborate and quite good. I'm always amazed by them. I can't remember the one we had in the weird train station in the video. It was the one where Charla and I had to trade accents for a day. But right. Yeah, she found a cool stamp, and I it's cool. Cool, collect the stamps, isn't it?
It's cool. Collect
Travel Japan, collect all the stamps.
But it is, if you're going hand luggage only, like I went to Japan recently, it's a really nice little kind of keepsake that doesn't break the bank when you head to the airport.
Absolutely, go and get some stamps. We've got one here from Amanda from Canada, who says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. I've always wanted to visit Japan, but I have severe health anxiety and panic disorder, which makes me have multiple panic attacks a day, therefore making travel very difficult. Question is, how is mental illness treated in Japan, and do you have any tips for people who want to visit who have panic attacks or any sort of mental illness? Thanks, Amanda from Canada." Sorry to hear that, Amanda. That can't be fun. I mean, I often have anxiety stuff, and if I'm on a plane, I more than once I panic. But to have it on that level must be horrendous. And I mean, mental illness in Japan was it's almost as awful a topic as the question of identity in Japan as a foreigner who's lived here 25 years, whatever. I'd say, honestly, I don't know. How would you visit Japan with such an illness? My advice would be, you know, come with friends and family. Probably take some tablets before getting on the plane. Like, I knew a guy who had really bad anxiety, and he would take something that would, like, knock him out on a plane ride, and he'd magically wake up at the other end. Again, I'm not Dr. Chris. Always take my advice with a pinch of salt. But I'd say come here with friends and family. If you really want to do it, plan everything out to a T, all the hotels, all the transport, all the getting around. Because, if you are an anxious traveller, Japan can be quite anxiety-inducing. I think the greatest anxiety people have is around kind of cultural etiquette and cocking up and doing something that might offend people. But you don't have to worry about that, honestly. I've never met anyone
and also, I think,
who's travelled here and sort of done anything like that, unless they've actually actively been a dickhead, like a YouTuber not paying on a train or causing mayhem in a restaurant, as happened last year. But like, for an everyday traveller, you really don't have much to worry about.
I think that in many ways, like, a lot of social anxieties come from, again, not a doctor, but in my experience, a lot of social anxieties are kind of people thinking about what other people are thinking of them, effectively. And there is a certain anonymity in the city, in such a bustling kind of place. Obviously, if you've got, like, you know, agoraphobia or all of those things, that good stuff that really makes life difficult when it comes to travel, that obviously the big cities aren't the place for you. But I think when you've got social anxieties about saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing, there is a certain anonymity to a big city where nobody knows who you are. So there's probably something to be said for that as well. But again, not knowing precisely where your anxiety lies would be difficult to sort of say, you know, give you any kind of advice or coping mechanisms. And good God, you don't come here for anxiety coping mechanisms. But I hope you get there, Amanda. I realise it's a massive undertaking, but don't put too much pressure on yourself and use the strategies that you've presumably perfected over the years to get out of here, because at the end of the day, food's bloody good.
That it is. I hope you're able to come over, Amanda, with some time and planning.
Agreed.
Hope you're able to do it. We've got one last here from Riley, who says, "Hello, guys. Quick question for Chris. Sorry, Pete. I'm finally moving to Japan this May on a working holiday visa, and I plan to travel Tohoku and North Japan and Hokkaido extensively the first 2 months to hike and check out the local temples and shrines. My question for you is, do you reckon it's a cheaper and better option to hire a car and face the fuel and toll charges rather than take the train, buses everywhere? Obviously, I know there's quite a few factors, but if you were to estimate which you think's the cheaper option, I'm just unsure how much road tolls rack up. Thanks, guys. Riley." I would say cheapest way is train and bus, not driving, because to rent a car costs a bit of money. It can cost about 8,000 yen a day, I'd say. About 8,000 yen a day. And then there's the tolls on top of that. That could easily come out to another 3,000 to 4,000 yen a day. The petrol, insurance, all sorts of factors. The only reason I say to hire a car is if you want to go places that are completely inaccessible by trains and buses. And a lot of North Japan, you can get around it by train, but you wouldn't want to necessarily, because you'd spend a lot of time sitting, waiting around at train stations and riding around going the wrong way. So I'd say it's less about the kind of cost and more about making the most of your time in Japan, right? Here on your working holiday visa. Do what I did, get a credit card, destroy the credit card. And try and pay
get the credit card, destroy the
pay
credit
it
card.
Off. I'm a more, like, when I was a student, I like no money and I would always just pay for stuff with my credit card. And the stupidest thing I ever did, I went to Rome for a weekend with my friends. Spontaneous trip. We were really bored on Friday. We're like, let's just go to Rome then. Flew to Rome, rented some scooters, crashed the scooter because some prick cut me up in front of the Vatican. And I crashed into a wall and the scooter cost $2,000. The scooter cost £2,000 and there was like no insurance or anything. So I had to pay what was supposed to be like a quick, fun little trip to Rome was the most expensive 2 days of my life. all went on the credit card, and I paid it off eventually, and we all lived happily ever after.
Crappily ever after.
No, just such shit advice on the Abroad in Japan podcast from Dr. Chris and Dr. Pete.
Don't listen. Don't listen to us.
No value in this podcast. Just terrible advice all around. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to whatever again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now. Bye-bye.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.